You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, I don't know, 649.999999. Next week will hopefully be 650. I think it will be. And this is a great episode because it's me, John G, and the other longest-running member of Punk News, and maybe even at this point, the second-longest-serving member of Punk News, Sammy B. Sammy B, here we be again. How are you?
Wait, hold on. Is that true? Have I been around that long?
I think so, because look at it this way. Adam is like 2003 to like 2018. No, 2020. Maybe 2019. And how long have you been around for?
I don't even remember. Like, I think last year was 10 years for me. So this year is probably like what? 11? Well, no, this year was 10 years. So 10 years. I've been with Punk News for 10 years. How is that possible?
How is that possible? But here we are, Sam. You and me. Till the end. Or maybe.
What is the end? Well, I'm not sure.
You bring up a great point, Em. I mean, Em. Sorry. Sam. Oh, God. You bring up a great point, Sam. And maybe we should talk about it, right? I mean, at this point, what is the purpose of Punk News? I mean, we are closing in on episode 60 of the podcast. Maybe it's a good time to talk about it. What is the purpose of Punk News? In a way, we're before, but we've also pretty much outlasted all the other punk websites. The only other punk website really now is No Echo, and that's like hardcore punk, not all kinds of punk, you know. I don't know if there's any other real punk sites out there. But also, people don't need to go to a website to learn about punk news, as it were, because there's Instagram, there's Twitter, there's TikTok, there's all these things. But on the other hand, it is nice to have it all in one place. And on the other hand, is social media now is more volatile than ever. Like, they're rising. Like, Twitter Facebook was the big one for a long time. Now Facebook is a mess. Twitter was the strongest one for a long time. Now Twitter's falling apart. And so now right now Instagram is kind of the most solid social media thing. But like all the others, it's going to rise and fall. It's got to. That's just the nature of social media. So I don't know. So maybe Punk News does have a purpose in that, like, we're consistent. We kind of been doing the same exact thing for 24 years now. And it's kind of cool, but I don't know, Sam, what's the point of Punk News, and maybe more so, what's the point of Punk News for you and me? What do we get out of it at this point?
Well, I've been here and there, in and out. I think this is more of an M question, because she's been super, super active on the site lately. Yes. So I think Punk News is still a place for at least the three of us to do things if we want, get news out of it for some of y'all's. I would have to say, if you want to contribute, you shall, listeners. Just, you know, throw us a line there somewhere. Because, you know, sometimes we do need help. But, yeah, I think Punk News is a space where people can just get, like, you know, a rolling list of things that we like. Now, we do try to cover as much as we can, but again, there's only three of us. So please be patient and don't yell at us. We don't need that negative energy in our lives. So, John, what does Punk News do for you these days?
Well, that's a great – I do like being in the mix, but I'm not nearly in the mix as much as I used to, because one of my favorite clubs – and I've told the story 1,000 times before this point – one of my favorite clubs shut down right around COVID, and they're still somewhat active but not really. And the club that took its place is literally – even though they're both in Philadelphia – It's like an hour further for me than the other club. So I really don't go there hardly at all. And so I'm not really in the mix as much as to see what's happening. Also, I got some other things going on. I've got a job and I'm doing some cool stuff on my own. So I'm not even exactly sure. Oh, so anyway, the point being is I'm not sure what Pungu's does for me right now. Some days it does feel like a burden because we got to post stuff and blah, blah, blah. But I do like being in the mix. I do like writing reviews. I do like doing interviews. I've got a couple of long form interviews that I'm going to post pretty soon. If I had infinite time, I would do a lot more Pung News. But the problem is now more than ever, somehow my time is so tapped, and I want to be doing more Pung News, but I just can't seem to get to a lot of it. So I'm not even exactly sure what Pung News does for me. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I've probably gotten out of Pung News what I'm going to get out of it, quote, career wise, writing wise, you know. But that doesn't mean I want to just leave Pung News and go away. But it means that I'm not necessarily as interested as being the main driving force at Punk News. And so yeah, I don't know, Sam. I mean, that really is it. I don't know. The one thing I never want to happen, and maybe you can comment on the same or maybe not, is a lot of the people that left Punk News, and I'll even like name them, you know, like Yancey, Rich Verducci, even Adam to a degree. And it's got nothing to do with me. They seem to have a bitterness towards Punk News. You know what I mean? Like after they left Punk News, they would post like these really snarky comments about Punk News or even talk trash on Punk News. And I never want to be that guy. You know what I mean? I never want it to be bad for me. You know what I mean? Because otherwise it feels like you've wasted 15 years of your life or something. So I'm kind of rambling, but I'm just saying is that's how I see Punk News right now. I'm proud of Punk News. But here's the bottom line. I'm proud of Punk News, but I'm not giving as much of my energy as I could to Punk News because my energy is being, you know, used in other areas. So I feel a little bad about that because there have been honestly some real hard-hitting news stories lately. The Live Nation cutting back on merch stuff, the Cro-Mags thing, the Fyre Festival guy. There's been a whole bunch of hard-hitting stuff that we could tackle more. But I just don't have the time to do it for free, especially. You know what I mean?
I think that's the point. Like, I'm not sure if everyone actually understands that we are volunteer based, and you know, in order for me, you, and M to sustain our own livings, we do have full-time jobs, right? This is not something that we do as a full-time gig. So, like, you know, yes, there's always room for improvement for in the punk news world. But then again, we as adults have other obligations to deal with, and you know, we're doing our best at what we're trying to do here and sustaining whatever we're trying to sustain. So I'm just gonna put that on the record. We don't get paid for this. We do this because we love to do this. So please don't yell at us, you know, listeners, readers, whatever you want to call yourselves. So I'm not sure about the bitterness and why that happens.
Do
I
you agree
do.
that that's a thing though, to an extent? Do you agree that some Punk News writers or editors who have left on their own on their own makings express some sort of bitterness towards Punk News after they've chosen voluntarily to leave? Do you believe that's a thing? Have you seen that?
I don't want to confirm nor deny that and take that for what it
Okay, fair enough.
is.
Not to drag this out because but honestly, this is one of my favorite conversations to have, and we have it like once a year or so. I don't really care if the people yell at us anymore, to tell you the truth, because I've been through so much battle in regards to that. It's like nothing to me anymore. I'm not gonna say I like it. I'm not gonna say it's nothing, but it's almost nothing. And you know what? It's the same 12 losers that have been, yelling for the past 10 years, and they're still here. You know what I mean? So who gives a shit? You know, I mean, really, you know.
Well, you know, it's my thing is, I was like, you know, we're still here. Apparently, you're not getting rid of us anytime soon because we're like just never die, apparently, or you can't get rid of us. We're just gonna do whatever we're gonna do. Like a lot of the things that we do on the site, it's literally passion projects.
Well,
You're doing,
everything.
yeah,
What is
exactly.
it?
Like, yeah, every interview that I've done is most likely a passion project. Everything that M has done is a passion project. All things that you do, John, is a passion project, including selling records. Yeah, like this is just what we do, and we are in a way, I guess, like contributing to the community in a way, right? So maybe just think of it as a way that we are putting into the community by still being involved in the site. I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
I do wonder if people I agree that we are adding to the community and we've discussed this before, but punk news is not quote cool. Maximum rock and roll, even though it's not really a thing anymore, is cool. Razor Cake is somewhat cool, although it's annoying as hell. Was not Toxic State. Sorry State with their newsletter is cool. We're not cool, so I do believe people use it as a resource, but I don't know if people appreciate us as a resource. And to a degree, that's a large part due to me because when I kind of became one of the main movers and shakers at the site, I kind of made a point in that, like, we're not going to try to be cool. If someone says they're punk rock, then we'll let them through the gate. If someone wants to review anything, we'll let them review it. In that way, often I've been accused of steering punk news in a direction or even being a gatekeeper or whatever, when my whole thing has been the exact opposite. If you want to come to the party, you can come to the party, and that's that. And I think overall that was the right choice, if only because I'm not a cool person and I can never seem to guess what people think will be cool, frankly.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, that is maybe one of the reasons why punk news perhaps isn't looked as. What's what I'm looking for? Looked as being isn't appreciated at maybe as much as other sites. But on the other hand, is the people that do appreciate those other sites are a much more niche audience, where our audience is a much wider audience too. You know what I mean? Like those other the publications aren't covering Sum 41. Not that I like Sum 41, but to me that they're vaguely punk, so we should cover them. You know.
Yeah, well, my thing about like there isn't like a rule book to punk news and there isn't a
Right.
handbook to punk news, and I think, the way that I think of it is, if you say you're punk, then you're punk, right? So I
Right.
do agree with you on that. I also think that if I think it sounds like punk and I think it's cool, then it's something that I want to cover. I think if you think it's cool, then it should be covered. I feel, and I've said this before, the label of punk can be subjective. I think we have enough not arguments, but conversations just, within the podcast of like what is punk, right? And I think that the site is a good encapsulation of varying degrees of what punk can be, wants to be, is, Plus, the site is also not just the three of us. The site is also every editor that has been there in the past. We've covered so many bands, and we still cover some bands, even though a specific band may not be my favorite band, but I know it's been covered in the past, so I'll cover it continually, now. So there is that kind of like precedence there, a moving, I guess, to the future, I guess. Yeah, to the future. So yeah, no, I do think that if we do get more editors, they're gonna carry the torch. Hopefully they feel the same way that we do, or has the same ethos as us, and
That's
the
what
way that we think about it.
that's one thing you gotta say about M is that really the M's overlap with your and my music is very slim. You know, it really
Yes.
is. You know what I mean? But I think she's got the right ethos. And I think that's the most important thing. Do you agree? Like a problem that we've had with editors in the past is that like they're more interested in being friends with bands, or they're more interested in really like doing what PR people or labels say. And I've never even been sure why, because a label isn't really going to be able to do anything for you, you know? Whereas I feel M, and actually, this is the way that I treat punk news, as laughable as it is I treat punk news not as a fanzine, not as a hooray type thing. I treat it as a news organization, in that, like, we actually treat our news reporting as unimportant as the subject may be. Seriously, you
Yeah,
know what I
I
mean?
know.
And we're very concerned with labels and PR people wielding undue influence. We're very concerned with making reviews, news, and interviews be the Barbara Walters style, if you will, or the Dan Rather style, you know, not the what's what I'm looking for, gossip magazine style, or not the fanzine style. And we've had that problem with other editors or writers in the past, and we continue to have that problem with writers. But I feel as though M understands that Punk News is a news organization, as laughable as that may be, and not an entertainment organization. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You see
Well,
what I'm saying?
the thing is, especially with the reviews, right? The way that I think about it is, I was like, I want a person's actual review of it. I don't want a paid partnership. I don't want, all of that nonsense to happen. Like, I want, like, that we have m multiple writers on staff that are great humans and great people. I want their opinion on things. Like, we have a couple people that's really into pop punk. So, like, I can trust, like, I'm into pop punk myself. I can trust that if they're writing a review, they're gonna have, like, they're gonna be on point with, like, what the sound is gonna be or whatever. I don't want to read someone's PR, like, literally copied and pasted in a review, I want an honest opinion that's un, I guess, altered by someone else, that is actually going to, let's just say, benefit from the money aspect of a band or whatever you want to call it, the management or business end of a band. So, that's that. Like, I also don't want to see, fives on everything, because I think fives is the highest, right? Yeah, because I'm like, if everything is perfect, then what's gonna suck? I was like, not everything could be perfect.
Speaking of which, actually, and we'll get to the show proper. I got to write a whammy review for Roger Waters' new version of Dark Side of the Moon. So bad, so bad. One last thing, Sam, and then we will get to the show. With regards to what you mentioned, is feel free to disagree with me, but I am just getting more and more fed up with PR and premieres and stuff. I feel as though there's way more hinky-jinkiness, way more games, and I'm not going to name names. But we interviewed a band before they got kind of big, and then M wanted to interview them after they kind of had a pop, and the PR person blew them off. And I was a little annoyed. I said to M, you should tell them, no, give us an interview, because we were there when we didn't need to be, you know. And so I'm getting pretty fed up with PR people and premieres. And another, like, premiere. Yeah, one of my great frustrations is premieres. I hate doing them at this point, but people will be like, hey, can we premiere this next Thursday? And you're like, fine. And then on Wednesday, like, oh, we're not ready yet. It's like, well, if the premiere's not ready to go, why are you pitching it? You know what I mean? Like, it's really not that hard. You have a pre-order link, the video or the song, and a picture. That's all you need. If you don't have that ready, why are you pitching it? The point being is, I'm getting very, very fed up with PR, and it seems to me that as Well, I think it's about equaled out now, but it used to be publications had all the power, PR had no power. What with social media is that dynamic has shifted a great deal, and PR people now have a great deal of power. And I'm not interested in ceding to that power. I don't work for you, PR, but you're acting like I work for you, which I definitely do not. It's the opposite, really. So my point being is, I'm getting annoyed with PR people, and really just kind of trying to keep people happy on that side of the thing. And I'm really fed up with it. Do you feel that way, Sam? Or I know M, who is in a different place than me and both you, Sam, is she talks with a lot of PR people all day long because she's trying to become more in the mix and raise her writing stature, which is definitely the smart thing to do. At my point, I've done so much writing, I've been in certain places. There's not a whole lot that PR people can do for me at this point that I can't just do myself. You know what I mean? So we're in like it's a different situation. I'm really fed up with PR people right now, and I feel they're playing more games than they used to. Where do you stand on that situation?
So all of the humans that I deal with do not do this to me. Like they actually have like if they are moving things around, there's an actual legitimate reason. Like it's usually not an issue, like per se. Plus, I usually tell them like because of my own personal schedule in life, you know, like me having crazy shows to go to every week, or, you know, AKA what you're probably seeing half of on Instagram, like, you know, things like that, and just like my own personal stuff because I am an adult. A lot of the PR people will give me things like, you know, ahead of time, not like, you know, the information. So I'm not like, I haven't really dealt with that. I actually love the PR people that I work with. They've been very, very kind to me.
At this point, I like one PR person, and there's a few other that I tolerate, honestly.
Oh, God, John.
But as we talk about behind the scenes, there are some wacky repeat offenders that are just always in our life for some reason. They won't go away, and I they're so annoying, you know. So yeah. Oh, see, this is why I got annoyed. People don't give a shit about this. Anyways, so that's where we're at Punk News right now. Let's play a song and come back. Sam, what song do you want to play? And we're going to come back and do the news.
I don't know. Let's just play something from Koyo. Yeah, I'll give you a title later.
And that was Koyo. And here's. Oh, so anyway, oh, we didn't mention this yet. I meant to talk about this. So last weekend was Punk News's. Well, actually, no, it's not Punk News. It's the Record Freak Out number 3, which is, I guess, sponsored by Punk News. It's really just me. And Sammy B came down to sell records. We do it 4 to 5 times a year in Philadelphia at a place called Philomoka, very rad venue. Actually, my favorite venue in the city by far. Sammy B came down. We had about 11 other sellers, and it's basically a record convention in Philly, and it's fun and it's rad. And Sam came down, and also, oh, I got to mention people. You know, I don't actually see Sam in person that often, maybe 2 to 3 times a year if I'm lucky. Sam has got style. Sam is a very stylish person. And people, if you want style tips, you should do what Sam was looking cool. She was wearing like all black, but then she had on like purple glasses, purple eyeliner, and black lipstick. And Sam looked definitely fall and definitely cool. Sam, I always forget how stylish you are. Sam, you are extremely stylish and well dressed. So kudos to you, madam.
Thank you so much, John. I did not look like I was there for punk reasons and or rock reasons. I was
Why do I?
literally wearing a Sanrio shirt. If anyone knows what Sanrio is, we need
I
to
don't
be
know what that
best
is.
friends.
Is that a style or a brand?
It's a brand. It is you know Hello Kitty?
I know what Hello Kitty is, yes.
Yes, it's literally those characters.
Oh.
Yeah, so basically, I dress like that normally. I had a really crazy morning, which I told John already, and I guess I'll tell you guys. Our car wouldn't start in Brooklyn, so we were literally having a day already. Trying to get to Philly because there is a drive from Brooklyn to Philly, and we got there. So I'm sorry in advance if my stylishness is actually hot trash, but thank you, Philly, for having us and dealing with my crazy order of sequence of events to getting there, and listening to me talk. Or actually, Chris, my husband. Talk endlessly about records because that's what we do.
Oh, poor Sam. Sam was down with her husband, Chris, a real nice guy. I shouldn't even say this, but I always accidentally stick them next to people that love to talk. I hope Sam, I hope you enjoyed the chatty Cathy next to you this time.
Oh no, they're totally fine. It was actually pretty interesting. Just having conversations with people about records. I would have to say, John, we were discussing this on our way back, that you put together a pretty diverse group of individuals to sell stuff. Because our records were not like the rest of them, but I would have to say that the younger folks loved our boxes. And the people seeking hardcore, because the rest of the tables were very, very rock oriented. But yeah, no, everyone was super nice, super accommodating. It was less crowded, which I think is a good thing, maybe, because last time, like, so I went to, we came to the first one, and wherever we were s like standing or whatever, it was like very crowded up there. So, this time was way better when it comes to space. Yeah, I could actually see humans and not just see blobs of things everywhere.
Or a certain, I could say, middle-aged gentleman, I'm definitely sure, had a crush on you and wanted to talk to you the entire time.
Yeah, there was a couple people that, really, 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 really wanted to talk to me. I don't know why or what about or whatever. Apparently, I started calling myself the German Shepherd of my office because everyone that comes into my work office just ends up talking to me at some point. So maybe I am the chatty Cathy. Don't know. We'll see. Maybe you guys, if you ever find me at a show in Brooklyn, should come and say hi and see whether or not I'm a chatty Cathy, and then email John and let him know. Maybe I'm just that friendly or not. I don't know. I don't think I'm that friendly. I'm a New Yorker. Like, are we even that friendly, really?
Well, I think Sam and Chris are friendly. So, anyways, Sam, it was definitely great to see you down at the thing. Hopefully, I'll see you at one in the future. The next one's going to be December 2nd, people. That's in Philadelphia at Philomoka, and it's going to be a pretty rad time. And this one's probably going to be the biggest one yet. So, I'm psyched on that. I guess same with regards to the record freakout. I mean, honestly, like it was a lot of fun, and people came to buy records, but nothing that crazy. Oh no, actually, a lot of crazy shit happened. I forgot. So. I'm trying to think. No, I should tell that. Well, there's one real weird story I'm not going to tell well, I think I told Sam about that. And there's another weird thing that happened that annoyed me. So I no, so nothing happened. At any rate, Sam, any interesting stories, or was it just fun slanging records down at the thing?
It's always fun slinging records anywhere. I've slung some records in Brooklyn. We've come to you guys in Philly a couple times. Like it's nice to be in a space where everyone you talk to speaks your same language. Vinyl records.
Sam, actually, one last thing. Any comments or criticisms with regards to the freak out? What could the freak out do better?
No, like, well, that is a hard question to ask me, only because I felt like the first one was crazy, but it was great, and I feel like it was very successful. This one that we just did, I feel like the weather really impacted people showing up.
Yeah, but actually, we had more people at this one than the two others.
Oh, really? It didn't
Yeah.
feel like that. I don't know why.
I think it's because we didn't have the stage filled up, so there was more physical space, you
Oh,
see.
maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, at
But
any rate,
yeah.
go ahead. I'm sorry, Sam, go ahead.
But yeah, no, I do feel like whatever you're doing there is working. So continue doing John G things.
Well, next one will be December 2 at Philomoka. And actually, I'm working on something else right now. We'll see if that. And actually, I was working. I'm gonna have to be cryptic here. I was working on something else real cool. And then I'm like, hey, do you guys want to? This is not at Philomoka somewhere else. I said, you guys want to do this thing XYZ? They're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And then I'm like, all right. So then I'm start setting up, and then I get an email a little bit later. Oh, we can't do that at all. I'm like, oh, okay. So anyways, so
Jeez.
that's what's happening. That's what's happening in the world of punk news. Always stuff happening, always stuff going on. And there would be a lot more going on if I had more free time, but I don't. And I'm already like 19 projects behind. I definitely want to get to work on Punk News Mixtape number 3, but things just keep popping up, Sam. Things keep popping up. But hey, anyway, we're already 40 minutes in and we haven't talked about any news whatsoever. So we're going to hit some news. And before the show started, I said to Sam, I'm like, this is going to be a short one. We're already 40 minutes in. But speaking of records, Record Store Day Black Friday, the list is out. It's actually much smaller than the average Record Store Day Black Friday, even. And the punk is very slim in the mix, if you ask me. So perhaps some of the more interesting things all coming out on Record Store Black Friday. Best Coast has a record coming out called Escape from New York. That must be a repress of one of the records. Let's see what else here, punk rock wise. Dr. Dre's reissuing The Chronic as a CD long box, which is cool. Digital Underground is re-releasing The Body Hat Syndrome, their third album on double LP. That's the first time that's been in print ever since the original, which was a limited press on vinyl to begin with back in like 93 or 94. De La Soul is reissuing 3 Feet High and Rising as one of these stupid 7-inch box sets where they just take an album and put it all on 7 inches for no reason whatsoever to make it less listenable for some reason and way more expensive. Let's see what else here at punk rock wise. David J of Bauhaus is releasing a 3 LP box set. Joan Jett is releasing a new EP called Mindsets, or maybe even LP. It's unclear as to what exactly it is, but it's new recordings. Let's see here. Limp Bizkit's releasing a whole bunch of stuff. If you like Limp Bizkit, I don't. Let's see here. Yeah, punk is actually pretty slim. Lee Scratch Perry and Keith Richards are releasing basically a dub plate record from Lee Perry's album from a little while ago. They had Keith Richards on a couple of tracks. Schoolie D is re-releasing his first record called Schoolie D. Sparks is releasing a live record. That's kind of cool. And that's for punk rock. That's about that's. Let's see. Oh, X Cops, the Gwar spinoff band, is releasing their only album. X Cops basically is Gwar, but they're all dressed up as cops. And they play different instruments and they sing
Wait,
about being
hold on, hold
cops.
on, hold on, hold on,
Yeah.
hold on. Are they in their gore costumes as cops, or are they just as cops?
No, so back in the 90s, when the amount of money in the music industry was insane, bands had apparently so much money and free time, they would do joke bands that weren't even intending to make money. One of the Gwar joke, there were like three Gwar joke bands. There was X Cops, there was Dave Brocky Experience, and there was one other like Gwar spinoff band that was basically just Gwar. And anyway, X Cops was the guys from Gwar. X Cops was the slaves of Gwar, dressed as cops, singing about being cops, and covering Deep Purple's Highway Star. And honestly, like, it's not even that good of a record, honestly. It's all right, you know what I mean? But I'm gonna get it because it's cool that it's gonna be on vinyl for the first time. And I want anything Gwar. Oh, Plasmatics are re-releasing their fourth record. English Beat is re-releasing a record. The vast majority of stuff here are just represses or first things on vinyl, not new music. Joan Jett is one of the only new music's here. Not for the first time ever, but I actually might like not go to this and just pick up what I want online because I really only really want like two to three things here. And I think I have something else going on that day, so I might just not go and pick it up online. Sam, is that a crime?
It is not a crime because I have sat out on Record Store Day so many years now. Like it really has to be like a Record Store Day exclusive, like a low amount of number, aka like 1,000 of them, for me to like get out of bed these days. I was like, if it's a Record Store Day first, I'm not running out of my bed. I'm too old for this shit, okay? Just to go do that. Yes, I do understand that I do have this like I do Record Store Day sometimes, but yeah, this list is not impressive.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, like the only thing that I'm gonna want is the turnstile like remix album. Like that's the only thing I want, and I think there's like 4,000 of them like floating around. So I don't know. If I don't get it, I'm not gonna die. The other two things that I want, like it's a record store day first, so I'm sure I'll get pressed in different colors, and I'm sure I'll be able to find it on like Target.com. Maybe on sale. I don't know. It's not even punk. It's literally Punk Goes Christmas and the Jonas Brothers. Maybe we should just sleep in and like maybe me and John, we should go on like X and just tweet each other like the entire time everyone's online for Record Store Day complaining about, the sky or something. I don't know. Should we do that from our beds? Just complain.
Well, see, that's the thing I'm always wrestling with is I don't want to become one of the, I don't feel jaded, you know what I mean? And usually about my age, a lot of writers or punk people like you're like, oh, I'm so sick of punk, or I'm jaded. I love going to shows more than ever. I love interviewing bands more than ever. I love writing about bands more than ever. I love listening to records more than ever. I don't feel jaded at all, Sam. Sorry, Jesus. My almost punk, punk is often about being in opposite. Well, punk is often about being in opposition. These days, I think it's actually more about being part of a certain culture, punk, than being in opposition. But in the old school punk fashion, my way of being in opposition is, people of my age are like, oh, I'm jaded, or I'm like, no, I'm not jaded. I saw Dog Party last night and it was awesome. And last week I saw a bunch of shows. I saw the Melvins and it was freaking awesome. And I also saw, I can't remember who I saw. I saw a bunch of bands. And tomorrow I'm seeing Screaming Females and it's going to be awesome. And I don't feel jaded, I feel totally jazzed by music, Sam. And I don't even hate Record Store Day. Everyone hates Record Store Day. I don't hate it. There's just not a whole lot that I want here, frankly, you
Well,
know?
I'm still very jazzed about music. I love music, hence why I have a record collection and I still do this website thing, right? But it's just, I think with Record Store Day, I'm a little bit jaded over it, only
I feel
because
that. I feel
the
that.
list has been consistently like the early years of it, like when I was getting into Record Store Day stuff, was so much punk. There was like one year, like my husband and I, we spent too much money, like the obscene amount of money on records, only because it was like one thing after another, and we're just like running from record stores all around New York City, like just to pick up our list and stuff like that, right? I feel like, and that was only like that was just when they had the one day of Record Store Day in the spring. Now they went from one day to what, three? Because didn't they have one in like July or something like that at one point?
Well, so during COVID and just
Oh, you're
after
right.
COVID, it was actually four. It was Record
Oh.
Store Day proper. No, it was four Record Store Days and then one Record Store Day Black Friday, so five. But now
Yeah.
it's back down to two, Record Store Day and Record Store Day Black Friday.
Well, I think this is, I think at one point having four or five was too much because, again, I've said this in the past. I think every year that we talk about, or every time we talk about Record Store Day in the last couple years, actually, I've said, do I need any more Kenny Rogers Christmas represses? Like, no, right? Like, we don't need that. I do you think that maybe if you really want that, go get a black copy. It's probably sitting at a store nearby somewhere you could probably find. Or just go to Tower Records because I saw a million of them in like the UK. I guess they don't like Kenny Rogers. I don't know.
Smart people, smart people.
maybe. But yeah, like I do feel like there was an oversaturation. So I get my quote unquote jadedness of it, right? And then now since we're back to the two, make the two worth it for me. Like, there has not been that many punk albums. Maybe the punk bands or punk records just got smart and said, why am I going to try to get people to buy overpriced records when I could just sell it at my store for a normal charge, right? Maybe they're doing us a solid. I don't know.
That is a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah.
I do know that a lot of small and medium sized labels actually express a great deal with Record Store Day, because they won't tell you how many copies you should press until you have to press a lot of copies, and like you can't convince them to carry it until after it's pressed, which is a big burden, and you don't know how much they're going to distribute, so it can really backfire in some small labels. See, the thing with Record Store Day for me is I definitely could become jaded because A, it's too expensive. It also, it feels like a lot of people just aren't trying. Like instead, like there's so many unreleased live albums, there's so many rarities albums, but instead they're like, oh, here's Joe Strummer's Street Core again on vinyl. Here you go. It's like, well, how about all these wonderful like bootleg Joe Strummer live shows that you could clean up and easily make a proper item? How about all these wonderful Joe Strummer B-sides like Blitzkrieg Bop you could put on vinyl? They're like, nope, here's Billy Joel's The Stranger again. This time it's half black, half white vinyl. Here you go. And it's like, I feel like they're not trying, but then again, I also feel like maybe those products do sell. That being said, the thing with Record Store Day is every time I'm like, eh, I'm over it, they come out with something really, really cool and suck me right back in. Like last Record Store Day proper was real cool, man. They had the Pogues Rarities 12-inch. They had the Tom Tom Club Deluxe 12-inch. They had so much. They usually have some cool Alice Cooper stuff. And so I just can't. I just can't quit you, baby. Record Store Day. Every
You
time I'm
can't
ready to
quit.
walk, they come with. But listen, here's something that's not cool. Dexys Midnight Runners has canceled their USA 2023 tour. No! This was supposed to be Dexys' first USA tour in 40 years. Sam, guess what kind of tickets I got?
Oh my God, please tell me you got like floor tickets.
I had front row, dead center tickets, only $60 each. I was
What?
so psyched. I love Dexys. They just
Wait.
put out
How
a new.
did you manage to do that? Like, were you like sitting there F5ing like to hell just to get that?
Well, actually, I think that coincides with why the reason the tour was canceled, which we'll get to in a second. They just put Dexys has two reunion out, well, three reunion albums. Their first two reunion albums were not good. They just put out a new reunion album called The Feminine Divine, which is incredible. Out of the six Dexys albums, it's my third favorite. It is so good. I was so psyched. They've actually been selling like those digital live bootlegs online from their website, and they sounded so good. The tour was them doing the entire new album straight through, then a full second set of like 15 classics. Bang, 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 bang. I was so psyched. I love Dexys. This is another band I thought I'd never get to see, like Roxy and Mötley Hoople. And then I got to see Mötley Hoople, and it was amazing. And I got to see Roxy Music, and it was amazing. And I'm like, now I'm like, of course I'll see Dexys. So I got front row, dead center tickets. I was so psyched, and they just canceled the tour like that. And I was so bummed. And listen, there's worse things in the world. In the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal, but it is disappointing. And so their post was kind of vague. They were like, it is with sadness that we announced that due to circumstances beyond our control, Dexys' November tour in the USA and Canada will no longer take place. We hope to come back later. Blah, blah, blah. They're not coming back later, Sam. So I guess I'm gonna have to fly to Europe to see Dexys, if I'm lucky. But I want to see, I mean, I'm not gonna get to see him on this tour. I really didn't want to see this tour. So why did it get canceled? Sam, why would you cancel a tour like 2 months in advance, not the week in advance, not the day in advance. What, 2 months in advance?
Did someone get arrested?
No, not that bad. I'm thinking it's got to be low ticket sales. You know what I mean? Like I had no problem. Like I did buy tickets the second they went on fan presale. But even so, you think like how often do you get front row tickets to anything ever? You know what I mean? And so
Yeah,
I think ticket
I
sales were just way too low. I mean, frankly, in America, really not that many people know who Dexys are, even though they had a massive one hit. to most people, I think in the United States, maybe they're equivalent to like Len, like what was that song by Len, Can't Steal
Steal
My
My,
Sunshine,
yeah, Steal My Sunshine, which I love, by the way.
actually, and let's talk about that video after we're done talking about Dexys. But or like Ace of Base, All That She Wants, or The Sign. Like everyone loves Don't Turn Around, All That She Wants, but no one's gonna go see Ace of Base, you know. So I
Oh,
think in this,
I would.
well, I would too, actually. Honestly, Ace of Base is actually kind of good. It took me years to admit, but Ace of Base is actually kind of good.
No, but Ace of Base also had like multiple like singles. Like Len really was one. So
Very true, very true. But anyway, in the UK and Europe, Dexys is seen as kind of an iconic band of substance, maybe similar to, I'm trying to think of like what band from the 80s isn't seen as an 80s band, but is seen as a band of substance in the States. I'm trying, maybe we don't even have any equivalent here. But in England, like modern English, Dexys, Midnight Runners, Chumbawamba, those are all seen as huge important bands. But here they're not seen that way. And so I think Dexys, actually Roxy Music is a great example. Roxy Music, they booked a 40,000 seat arena, bumped it down to 15,000 seat, and they sold about 2,000 tickets, and it was kind of disappointing. And so I think Dexys, just Americans just don't understand the importance and greatness of Dexys, and that's why it got canceled. And anytime I think about Dexys, I still get sad because a favorite band of Jack Terrycloth's. And boy, wouldn't it have been fun to talk about the new Dexys record with Jack Terrycloth because it's so good. And that makes me sad too. So anyway, Sam, I'm very sad that Dexys got canceled. I'm probably never going to get to see him. And I'm definitely not going to see him on this tour, which is a bummer. There's worse things in life, but it does kind of suck.
yeah, I really think that, you know, you're gonna have to fly out to Europe to get this done. It kind of sucks because it's like in America, sometimes it's not worth touring America sometimes.
Yeah, well, you're right. I guess with a band like Roxy, I'm sure with Roxy Music, I wonder if the promoter maybe had to file for bankruptcy because like I don't even know if they broke even on those shows. I doubt they did, you know. And it is kind of astounding that a promoter of that scale, or even of the Dexys scale, which is, you know, Dexys guarantees probably like, I don't know, 20 grand, maybe 30 grand, maybe 40, maybe 40. Like you would wonder that a promoter of that scale could misfire so massively. You know, I guess it happens. I guess it goes to show that you never really, but on the other hand, you got guys like Golden Voice throwing on like that When We Were Young Fest that have it down in such a perfect science, and they're making fistful of cash. It is amazing that some promoters just don't quite, and actually here's the difference. Here's the difference, Sam, and then we'll move on. I would wager that the promoter bringing Dexys to the United States is a big Dexys fan, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the promoter of the When We Were Young Fest doesn't give a shit about any of those bands whatsoever. It's strictly marketing research and product development. That's all it is. They don't care at all about any of those bands. So maybe
Plausible.
it's that lack of what's the word I'm looking for? Lack of bias is why they're so good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, we're guilty of it, John and I, you know, you and me, even M. Like, you know, we have our bands that we love. We'll go to bat for, like, you know, things like that, right? So of course I was like, sometimes we're clouded in judge, like in our own thoughts of like
Yeah.
how great or how big this band is. Meanwhile, they can't sell out, like, you know, a venue or something.
Yeah.
So sometimes, yes, marketing research does work because, like, you know, you can theoretically look at, like, you know, certain places and be like, okay, well, they have a huge following here. And you know, it does help, like, you know, we have Spotify. Like, Spotify does log in, like, your location and who's listening to said band, right? So, like, you know, if there is a New York-based band that and they have the most streams coming out of New York, that would make sense because they probably play around New York a lot, right? Or the New York tri-state area. I was like, you know, you might have a band out of New York but is really, really hip in, like, you know, California. So you might want to like push a venue in California to be a little bit bigger because there's a lot more streams or people listening out there, you know. You might not want to go to like Ohio if you only have one person, like, listening to said band and like, play a thousand like cap room, right? Like things like that. It's yeah, so it's totally plausible that said promoter is a really big Dexy fan, like really was like, oh no, like it's a huge hit, it's a huge hit, and just riding off of the huge hit. Or it's also plausible that the promotion didn't hit the targeted audience that it needed to hit.
Could be, could be.
Yeah, who knows?
I have front row tickets, Sam. Front row tickets.
I'm sorry,
Well,
John. You're not seeing
thank you,
them.
Sam. I know, I'm not. As I was saying, Sam, when we get started, it's like we don't have that much time. We're already an hour in, Sam. This is the Sam and John magic. We just start rapping and just so we got a couple of other stories we're gonna blast through. Sam, I'm actually interested to see what you think of this. Dani Miller of Surfboard has released a new solo track. It's called Hard Way. She kind of touted it as her very first solo track, but she's actually released two other solo tracks on a soundtrack. I think it's called like The Awakening or something. It's actually got like David Bowie on it and Courtney Love. The soundtrack is actually like really good. Anyway, this is Dani Miller's new solo track. It's called Hard Way. To me, the lyrics are very much surfboard style lyrics, but the music, I guess, isn't. It's kind of more 90s grunge alt rock as opposed to punk that surfboard is. And I thought it was absolutely stellar and fantastic. I thought the lyrics were very Dani Miller and very at once both wounded and yearning, but also viciously bitter. She's got a line in there. It's like, you're a tough little cookie, I know. And the next line is, and you're a wounded little pony, I know. It's like, what a way to like call someone a wounded little pony, like just totally stab them to death. I thought this track was absolutely incredible. It seems like Surfboard might be on hiatus, and as we all know, hiatuses tend to not bode well for the lifespan of bands. That being said, if Surfboard is over and this is what's coming out, I am so psyched on this track. I hope you. Dan, ever since the second Surfboard album came out, Dan's kind of been it's been unclear what she's been up to. She's got this thing called Trash World, which is kind of like a dance act, and it seems as though she's not exactly clear what she wants to do. I hope she kind of sits down and figures out what she wants to do because I thought this track was stellar. Sammy B, Hard Way by Dani Miller. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs all around. And the readers hated this, which makes me all the more sure that it is a good track. And they hated this. Also, Sam, not to be Mr. Knight White riding around on my wounded little pony, but do you feel as though if Danny was a guy and singing this song as a guy, would they hate it as much?
Would just hate it. Like the readers, I think they just hate surfboard. It's fine. So I listened to this track and it was so different than surfboard. Like I was like, what just happened? It was actually quite delightful how emotional it was. She's literally crying in the video. Totally different side that I didn't even know was a thing. Also totally different makeup. Like I couldn't even tell this is Dani Miller, of Surfboard until I read the thing and you said it was Dani Miller of Surfboard.
Oh,
Yeah.
so did you listen to this and you didn't know it was Dani Miller of Surfboard, or you knew it was Dani after while listening to it?
I could not tell. Could not tell. I had to read your blurb and I was like, what? This is surfboard? And then like I went back into like a old like a video of surfboard from like a few years back and I was like, what just happened? Yeah, no, this was surprisingly delightful, I would have to say. I believe I'm not a huge fan of surfboard. There was things that I liked and things that I did not like. I would prefer this over surfboard if you would were to ask me.
Well, there you have it, Sam, with the final decision on Dani Miller. I hope she puts out more stuff. Let's see here. Maybe we'll hit one or two more stories. Oh, we're gonna hit this real quick, and then we'll hit one more, and then we'll wrap this on up. This will be quick. Dwarves and DFL are playing Arizona and Nevada. I will be at the Las Vegas show. That's let's see, the tour is November 2nd, November 3rd, and November 4th. I will be at the November 4th show in Las Vegas at the Dive Bar in Nevada. Dwarves have just announced a brand new album. It's called the Dwarves Concept Record. I've heard it, and it is absolutely fantastic. DFL just re-released My Crazy Life by DFL. Absolutely fantastic re-release. This show is going to be rad. It's going to be awesome. You should come to this tour. It's going to be cool. Be there. Sam, you coming to Las Vegas with me?
No.
Do you like Las Vegas?
I do like Las Vegas. I love Las Vegas for entertainment purposes, and to eat all of the buffets because I just like buffets out there. They're better than most buffets. Yeah, I really, really do like just traveling around. Also, Las Vegas does have some pretty cool record stores. That's a thing. But I will not be coming to Vegas with you for Dwarves. Not a fan of Dwarves, so not happening.
Boo,
I was
boo.
I was actually going to ask you if you were going, because this seems like a thing that John would do.
Yeah, is it this tour? Well, yeah, yes, it's going to be awesome. Also, Codefendants are playing in Las Vegas. I
Yes.
wonder if Fat Mike's going to be there or if it's going to be Codefendants without Fat Mike.
Well, you'll
That's.
find out, and you'll let
I
us
will.
know.
I will. So anyway, yeah. Let's do one last story. The Interrupters have released a live version of their song "Alien." Alien was on the song, was on the album, "In the Wild." You know, if you want to talk about a ping pong reaction of bands that punk use, Interrupters have. Wowee. When they first came out, everyone hated them. People forget that they hated them because the thing is like, why is Tim hanging out with this girl? Tim should be hanging out with me and my loser band. You know what I mean? So people hated him. But they kind of put out the first three records, and then people by the third record, people pretty much love the Interrupters. You know, I like the first three records. I think the third record is really, really good. I think the first two are pretty good. And then they put out that live album. But then you know when they got more and more popular, they started to ping pong back. Now with the fourth album, which is very different than the first three records, it's more almost like a pop radio record. People are back to, at least at Punk News, people are back to hating them again. They put out a video for the song Alien, and Alien is not like their first. It's basically like, honestly, it's almost adult contemporary. Like, this definitely could be an adult contemporary radio. The readers absolutely hated this track. Sam, did you hate this track? Or should they be criticized for being sort of a manufactured band? And should they be criticized for the statements that Amy Interrupter made 10 years ago now on the Alex Jones show, what she has not addressed? Should we hold that against her? Or can we just say, well, she was young then, and young people say a lot of dumb things? So basically, the answer is 10 years on, 15 years on, Interrupters in the band. The Interrupters have been a band the following number of years, Sam, and then I will get to my question and ask you. The Interrupters have been a band for. Hey man, I spelled Interrupters wrong. The Interrupters have been a band for just about 10 years now, a little bit over 10 years. The first album came out in 2014, their first single 2013. 10 years on, Sam, what do we make of the Interrupters?
Interrupters are fun. I've seen them live, I think once or twice. And they are fun. I do like her the tone of her voice a lot.
She's a great. She really is a great. Like
She
her
yeah.
tone is fan. It's so good. It really is, isn't it?
It's so good. It does work with the songs and stuff like that, even though it's, Ska-ish. But I would have to say,
Oh, Scott. I think you said Scottish. I'm like Scottish. No, Scottish. I'm like
yeah,
Scottish.
Ska. But I do get why, our readers, or listeners, do have an issue with it, because, there is, I guess, a perceived notion that since she was like hanging out with, like they were hanging out with Tim, that they might have been manufactured and stuff like that. I don't think that if they were manufactured, they would still be together now after 10 years, right? So maybe we could put that to bed. I don't know. I this song Alien is actually a pretty nice song. I do like the song, because it's kind of like, speaks about like, being an outcast, or like, some just not feeling like you belong anywhere, right? And I would have to say that, because I had to like listen to the song again, like, the original recording of the song versus the live in Los Angeles. And I was like, oh, it's pretty spot on. So that's cool, I guess. But yeah, no, that I think if you like the Interrupters, you're gonna continue to like the Interrupters. Minus maybe not this last record, because they, yes, did go very, very, polished with it, but can you blame them? Didn't they just like tour with like, what was that massive tour they were on?
Was it like
Green
Green
Day.
Day? Yeah,
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 it was
yeah.
Green Day and Weezer. Come on, like, it's plausible that something hit them in the head and was like, oh, maybe we should start working on things like this, if they were touring with these people for like, because it was a huge massive tour, because that happens sometimes, yeah. I don't think that things that was said a million years ago on Alex Jones's whatever should be held accountable, like, I don't know. I'm not sure how to feel about that. Okay, if re like really, because it's like, in a way, yes, you might be saying stupid things because you were young. Then yet again, sometimes you're not saying stupid things because you're young and you actually believe it. So I think we need to hear more clarity from them. Maybe we can make a decision on that one day. Does that make sense?
She got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshal caught her outside of Spokane. She said, "I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I'll do it again." Anyway, I liked, honestly, I was kind of a holder outer. That's not the right word, but I was a holder outer on Interrupters. And when they put out that third record, I liked them a lot, and I liked the live record a lot. Except for they have this like Disney-ish between song banter. Like there's this one, like it's so cringy. It's like just it's always the guys that speak, the Bavona brothers. They're like, this song is about winning the fight, but it's not a fist fight. It's about winning the fight for mental health. And it's like, it feels like you're just like, it feels like you're talking to like a middle school or even an elementary school, you know. Anyways. I like the Interrupters. I thought the last album was real bad and not something I'm into. But hey, man, I don't have to be into everything. Not everything's made for John, you know. But I'll tell you this way, surfboard tracks and the new Danny Miller track. And that's what we're going to play right now. This is Danny Miller doing her new solo single. And we'll be right back to shut this bad boy on down. Sam, we did it again. We killed an hour and 15 minutes like it was nothing, Sam. Like it was nothing.
How did that happen? Like, what is wrong with us?
I don't know, man. Well, I do love the John and Sam episodes. Always delightful, always fun. And next week is going to be episode 650, where we're going to have the Night of a Thousand Games, including the Newlywed Game, where Sam and Chris Barrett are going to play. And so, yeah, that's what's happening. That's what's going on. Sam, any closing words? What's your name?
I'm sorry in advance for you guys if you need to get to know me or Chris. Yeah, I'm sorry in advance.
And we'll see you next week.